Washington now, and with signals on future spending cuts for defense, a pay raise for federal workers, and even higher pay raises for military troops, the 2013 Obama budget released yesterday contains numerous indications of likely policy directions from the White House this year. There's a major new initiative in education we'll talk about in a moment. Significant cuts to planetary exploration at NASA, major cuts to hospitals and drug makers in the healthcare arena, and a new but not surprising scheme for getting more tax revenue.
So we don't envy the wealthy, but we do expect everybody to do their fair share so that everybody has opportunity, not just some.
What that means is significant tax increases proposed on the wealthy, including an embrace of the so-called Buffett rule, which requires people making over $1 million from capital gains to be taxed at a higher 30% level. Republicans anxious to take apart the White House plan stepped up yesterday. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This budget is literally loaded with deficit reduction gimmicks that would trigger an IRS audit for anybody else and make our current economic situation even worse.
Joining us now from the powerful Washington bureau of our partner, the New York Times, is Jackie Combs, White House national correspondent, or White House correspondent. Jackie, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here.
And can you take apart this budget? There are, on the spending side, some pretty interesting developments, both in terms of increases and reductions. And then we'll talk about the tax situation, which is probably going to be the focus of the fight in Congress.
They're starting out from the standpoint that they're trying to do $4 trillion over 10 years. You know, the Republicans, of course, dispute that number, in deficit reduction. At the same time, they're doing short-term stimulus still in an economy that hasn't quite taken off. But beyond the short-term stimulus, the president is keen on starting some programs that would be more permanent for encouraging manufacturing, for instance, higher education, getting more math and science teachers, more engineering graduates. And so all of those things take money. But in the scheme of our deficit, it's not that much money. He has proposed $1.5 trillion over 10 years in higher taxes, as you noted. It's a budget that's mainly a statement of his priorities and a campaign manifesto, really, for what he would do in a second term.
And really a status quo of a lot of principles we've heard before. The only real surprise was that if you're working at a junior college in the United States, you're likely to get a federal infusion of money based on this education that supports engineering and high-tech education, and that's really centered at the junior college level. Any chance that that would get passed?
Well, you know, I've been in Washington for quite a few presidents now, I hate to say, and we like to say that the president's budget is dead on arrival, but provisions like you've mentioned and others, there's a lot of things in a president's budget that do get attention and do get put on the, you know, radar because the president proposes it. So I think things like that could be could have a chance, but I think both parties, it does have bipartisan agreement that the nation is, you know, falling behind in the number of engineering graduates it has. There's going to be a teacher shortage on the horizon, and particularly math and science. And so I think there is possibility to get agreement on those things. But it is true that in the fourth year of his presidency, a lot of things, if the president puts his arm around them, that's the kiss of death for that provision in Congress.
You got to love American democracy, that's for sure. So the Pentagon budget already has factored in a 1% cut, and most of the big cuts in defense are in the out years. In as far as healthcare is concerned, are the cuts in this budget simply triggered by the Obamacare, the Obama healthcare reform bill, or is there something additional there?
It is additional. It's $360 billion over 10 years from Medicare and in savings in Medicare and Medicaid. But most of that is in the form, almost all of it, not in any reductions to benefits to people, but to lower payments to some care providers, to a few out-of-pocket costs for more affluent beneficiaries, and requirements that drug manufacturers pay rebates, and so they aren't, getting as much money
right.
off the Medicare system.
And that's why
where the savings go.
And that's why the hospitals and the drug lobby is crying foul, at least in some of the early sort of reaction this morning. All right, let's focus on taxes. That's going to be the big partisan fight. The Obama administration really fully embraces this so-called Buffett rule, which would mean that folks like Mitt Romney would never get a 15% tax rate ever again, right?
Right. Well, and, you know, the preferential rate for dividends only came about in, you know, recent decades during the Bush administration. The 1986 tax reform that Ronald Reagan is known for had a tax dividends at the same rate as ordinary income. And so that would go back under the president's plan to, for the highest earning taxpayers, 39.6%, which is nearly double from the current 20%. The Democrats and a number of tax economists as well argue that the experience of the Bush years showed that these preferences for investment income did not really create jobs. And so they're saying, you know, something that will raise $206 billion over 10 years is needed right now as we try to, you know, balance the budget and yet invest in things.
Is this going to be the campaign issue, taxes on the wealthy, and the rest of America, you know, sort of being told that, you know, you vote with the Democrats or else, you know, they're going to not be sharing the wealth over there on the GOP side?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Democrats have always been trying to shake this idea of being the tax and spend party, but they seem to be embracing it now. And it's not just the tax increases; it's they've put it in terms with justification of the trade-off between raising revenues from people at the very top and being able to pay for continued investments in the things we've been talking about, even as you're trying to reduce the deficit. Now, the problem is, over the long term, you cannot balance this budget and pay for investments just by taxing
Indeed.
The rich. All of us will have to pay eventually.
Right. And there's nothing balanced about this budget. Jackie Combs, White House correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, on that $3.8 trillion federal budget. Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you for having me.